Our reading for this evening is to be found in Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 22 and going on to verse 37. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, "Could this be the son of David?" Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it, and the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, please help us to understand this passage. Please show us what you would have us to know. Please write these words, we pray, on our hearts, that we may keep them. Please increase in us love for you. Enable us, Lord, in our weakness. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As I have preached recently about opposition to Jesus from the Pharisees, I thought instead I would concentrate the points of the sermon on the latter verses that deal with the unpardonable sin and a tree known by its fruit. There is concern among most, if not all, Christians about the first issue in particular. A major part of the gospel message is on the subject of forgiveness. We rejoice that our sins have been forgiven by the Lord through the atoning sacrifice of the cross. More than that, we are declared righteous in God's sight. Prisoner leaves without a stain on his character. It is just as if we have never sinned. We are as newly washed clothes straight from the machine. And if clean, we wish to stay that way. The thought of straying into a sin that can never be forgiven and all the dire consequences that it raises is appalling. It plagues the sensitive and troubles the conscientious. So what is it? Here are 3 points. The honour due to the Lord, the response due to the Lord, the life due to the Lord. The first part then, the honour due to the Lord. The Lord Jesus had remarked earlier that in this place there is one greater than the temple. You can see it there in verse 6 of our chapter. The temple had its function right up to the Lord Jesus' death on the cross. It was to be the place where God could be met, but on a limited scale, because of sin. Atonement for sins could be made, but the Holy of Holies could be entered only once a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. This all ended with a cry, "It is finished." The crucifixion. The veil of the temple that screened the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom. Access to the Lord of Hosts was now available, possible on the basis of the perfect sacrifice once for all that had been made there at the crucifixion. Really, the temple became obsolete from now on. When Jesus declares, "Destroy this temple and I will restore it in 3 days," he is speaking of himself. He was restored in 3 days. He rose again. He is the true and living temple. The earthly temple and its predecessor, the tabernacle, foreshadowed the Messiah, the Son of Man. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wisdom and riches and strength and honour and glory and blessing. This is the song of praise to Jesus by the myriads of heavenly beings round the throne in Revelation 5. And I'm sure those words are familiar to you as they are to me from Handel's Messiah. Do you not want to cry out with them in such or similar words of praise, as we realize something of the enormous cost and tremendous achievement of the cross? God and sinners reconciled, as the carol says, glory to the King of Kings. Honour is due to Jesus for his obedience. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Philippians continues, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This is a sure way of beating any melancholy or depression. Let us focus on him. If circumstances are trying you at this particular moment, focus on the Lord Jesus. Who could be greater than he? Are we not in him more than conquerors? Focus on Christ. Peter could walk on water all the time his eyes were on Jesus. As soon as he looked down, he began sinking. Honour is due to Jesus for being gracious. We are presented with a gracious pattern for forgiveness. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, we read in the beginning of verse 32, he has set us an example. If the Lord Jesus allows this, how much more should we if someone says a word against us? Now, honour is due to Jesus for casting out demons. The pernicious troublers of humanity, they stand no chance when ordered out by the Son of God. Notice in the Philippians passage that those under the earth had to bow. This refers, I believe, not only to those who are in hell for rejecting Jesus in this life, but also to the demons themselves. This is patently ridiculous of the Pharisees to claim that Jesus casts out demons by their prince. This is an instance of sour grapes. As the Lord says here, a house divided against itself cannot stand, nor a city, nor a kingdom. Satan would not willingly see his power diminished, and yet, with every demon cast out, this is what happens. It suited the devil to have the blind and mute man in his power. For this man is wrested from the clutches of evil and is made to see and to speak. All glory to the Lord, the Son of David. Only God is good. And so why should they look elsewhere for the source? This leads us to the response due to the Lord. We have to acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and our God, just as Thomas did at the resurrection. He hadn't been there when Jesus appeared, first of all. And then, a week later, he got his opportunity. The Lord appeared to him, the risen Lord. And Thomas was given the proof that he desired. He could examine the wounds that Jesus had sustained on the cross. You believe because you have seen, Jesus said to him, but how much more blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We find this in John chapter 20, verse 29. Every knee will bow to him, whether willingly or reluctantly. Better willingly, of course, during the time of grace, than when it becomes too late. We are to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. The Pharisees refused. They should have accepted him as their Messiah. But as John observes in the beginning of his gospel, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. They had to invent all sorts of reasons, casting aspersions on his ministry. I have preached on this before, not long ago, you might recall. Jealousy, bitterness of heart, but most of all, sin, the sin of unbelief. They wanted God on their own terms. Jesus was a threat to this. We have all sorts of nonsense nowadays, as any excuse is manufactured in order to avoid this. The most absurd is that Jesus never existed. He is the pillar of history, or as the Apostle Peter says, the cornerstone. 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Later in the same letter, in chapter 5 and verse 12, John writes, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. You cannot reach God without accessing him through the Son. The way to the Father is through the Son. This way leads to what really is life. Now this life comes by entering through the narrow gate. Elsewhere, Jesus describes himself as the door or gate for the sheep. Conversion is entered through this gate. As Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones observes, it engages first the mind, then the heart, and lastly the will. It is to be alive as never before. Now, to deny such experiences when they have happened, moreover, to disown the Saviour and the new life we have experienced in him, this, I believe, to be the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It is speaking against the Holy Spirit, as we have here in the verse. This is what I have been taught. This is what I hand to you. Here it is raised to warn the Pharisees that they are coming perilously close to it. They ascribe the heavenly and miraculous to the infernal and devilish. This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, they assert. Quite naturally, as soon as we read it, we begin to be troubled. Am I guilty of the unforgivable sin, we ask? It has made me very careful, but it has troubled me. It has troubled me to speak against anything in my charismatic past, though willing to read cessationalist books on the subject. Rather, let us take the words of Matthew Henry to heart. Humble and conscientious believers at times are tempted to think they have committed the unpardonable sin, while those who have come nearest to it seldom have any fear about it. We may be sure that those who indeed repent and believe the gospel have not committed this sin or any other of the same kind. For repentance and faith are the special gifts of God, which he would not bestow on any man if he were determined never to pardon him. And those who fear they have committed this sin give a good sign that they have not. A trembling, contrite sinner has the witness in himself that this is not his case. So I come on to the third part, the life due to the Lord. Another hymn has it by Isaac Watts. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. We sing this, or rather we did before lockdown. And even now when we do eventually regather, will we? We may have to sing it and other hymns at home. But certainly we have freedom to do this. To live for Jesus 100%, as the hymn says, that is the target. But like a bank account in the red, we fall short and have to be bailed out by grace. The former self is present to put a spanner in the works. The shortfall or deficit has to be made up for by the Lord from the riches that Christ brought through his death on the cross. The former self, which Scripture calls the old man, is gradually subdued by the workings of the Holy Spirit. Faith, love, perseverance, all these increase. We are faced with a similar situation as that of obeying the law. The law needed to be kept 100%, and yet it proved impossible. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. All things are possible with God. The keeping of the law was achieved perfectly by the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verses 3 to 4 tell us, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What about our track record? In this passage it is presented to us as trees. Good trees yield good fruit. Bad trees just block out the light. Their fruit is poor and they do little else of worth. We are all like trees. What fruit we bear is proof of the condition of our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, we have in verse 34. How could a corrupt heart speak good things? We see ample proof of corrupt hearts everywhere, and it is depressing. So Matthew Henry again. Nothing but the salt of grace, cast into the spring, will heal the waters, season the speech, and purify the corrupt communication. It is a sobering truth that every idle word will be accounted for. In verse 36, we see condemned or justified in verse 37. How easily we utter vain words. Recall the splendid teaching found in the letter of James about the tongue. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. James goes on to say, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. And we have the certainty that such words can be forgiven if repented over, because the Lord has just stated that there is only one unforgivable sin. The idea of a list of mortal sins has no basis in Scripture. The wages of sin is death, yes. However, balance this with the rest of Romans 6, verse 23, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. To be on the path to eternal life is to know Jesus our Lord. He gives us the power to overcome the poor tendencies of our weak human nature. We are, as Romans 8 says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That is there for us, divine strength to overcome. This is the victory that overcomes the world, namely our faith. All glory be to the Saviour, to God the Father, to God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. Amen.